final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back in for another edition of Drive Time Sports. We're live from the Sutherland Studios. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. It's Football Tuesday, and we've been waiting for this one. This is an important one. We got a lot to get into on the show today. We're going to go over NFL free agency, some of the news and notes, old faces in new places. That's kind of the reoccurring theme when we look at the running back market. All these free agent backs are out looking for a new squad. Well, most of them have found their new squad, so we'll talk about that. But of course, we will focus on the local scene as well. Today, it's going to be Emory High School soccer. That's what we're going to get into. We're going to be joined next segment by Coach Troy Winter. The Emory Spartans are going to continue the season tomorrow, only one game deep so far. So that's coming up on the local realm. Let's start by looking at what's happening as far as free agency is concerned in the league. And there are some big ones, like Derrick Henry, for instance. Derrick Henry has a new home. He has set a two-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens. I like this signing a lot. There's a lot of free agent signings I can really get behind. This is one of them. It's easy to forget that Derrick Henry is only 30 years old. Seems like he's been around a lot longer than that. So a two-year deal worth up to $20 million. I believe $9 million is guaranteed. That's only in the first year for the Ravens. But the reason I like this so much is because the Ravens led the NFL last year with 2,660 rushing yards. Okay, so they were number one in the NFL, and this is really without a team that didn't have a starting running back due to injury. And they tried to get Derrick Henry at the trade deadline from the Titans, couldn't work out a deal. They wait for free agency, and now they get their guy. I think this alleviates a lot of pressure off of Lamar Jackson. That's the way I view this. I think that this is a deal where when you look at what Baltimore will bring to the table as far as the ground and the pound, you're going to see Lamar Jackson getting outside the pocket, but maybe not running past the scrimmage as much. I love this signing. Love it. I think it's a great deal for both sides, and I think that Derrick Henry is going to fit in beautifully with the Ravens. Now, outside of that, some of the other running backs that are moving on. We talked about Josh Jacobs. He's leaving the Raiders. We've already talked about that. Aaron Jones has a new home after the Packers released him. He moves on. He signs a deal with the Minnesota Vikings. We've talked about Saquon Barkley already. The name that surprised me the most last night was Joe Mixon, because I loved what Cincinnati did. They go out, they grab Zach Moss. I love that deal. And then like 5 minutes later, they make the announcement that they're moving on from Joe Mixon. I hate that. If you look at the combination of running backs here, one and two, I don't know that there was a better duo in the league than Moss and Mixon. They complement each other so well. I mean, here, you follow the Utah Utes. If you do, you know that Zach Moss, tremendous running back, can't catch out of the backfield. Joe Mixon can. Oh, I thought that was a deadly combination. Yet it's never going to come to fruition because, once again, the Cincinnati Bengals, who are known for being cheap, are being cheap yet again, even though they have a quarterback in his prime who is 2 years removed from a Super Bowl berth. And now we think that they're probably going to move T. Higgins, right? So I'm not a fan of what Cincinnati has done. I think everyone else in that division has gotten better. But look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. A day after I just applaud Pittsburgh for going out and getting Russell Wilson, then they go out and they make a move and they grab Patrick Queen today. Man, the Steelers, you know, Super Bowl wins, that's why you play the game, but they're really hard to come by. That's why when a team wins one, it's a success. You know, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots winning 6 Super Bowls, they became a victim of their own success. We're not going to see that again. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs have gone back-to-back. There's a reason why they're the first team to do that in like 20 years. It's hard to do. Right? This, and the point I'm trying to make here, Pittsburgh is ran so well. That is an organization that is ran so cleanly. Everything they do, for the most part, makes sense. There's not a lot of head-scratching moves. And I absolutely love what the Steelers have done this offseason in free agency. They've improved at pretty much every single level. If you're a Steeler fan, there's good for you, because 9 out of 10 times, your team is going to make the correct move, and that's what we've seen so far. One team that has been very, very slow, that's the Dallas Cowboys. In fact, there was only one team that did not make a move yesterday. That was the Cowboys. Everyone else did something. Cowboys starting to pick up the pace maybe a little bit, but still, yeah, they're falling behind, I think, in that division. You know, the Giants made the move last night, grabbing Brian Burns. We'll talk about this one a little bit later on. One of the most sought-after edge rushers in the league. And the Giants get him on the relative cheap. They have to pay him. I think it's about $28 million is what they have to pay him. But they only give up a 2 and a 5. I think the Commanders have knocked this free agency out of the park. I love what's happening right now with Washington. And then I think Philadelphia has shown a lot of urgency in kind of a revamp with Nick Sirianni. The Cowboys, for me, in the NFC East, maybe a little bit behind. But the good news is, if you're not happy with what your team has done so far, don't worry, because this is the initial wave of free agency. There are teams that have to make moves within the next 24 hours. It's going to really shape the way things look. One of those teams, it is the Los Angeles Chargers with new head coach Jim Harbaugh. They have to start making moves to get under the cap. I don't know if that's Khalil Mack, if it's Joey Bosa. There's ways to do it, but that's a team that has to get under the cap. They have until 1 p.m. tomorrow, so they have less than 24 hours to get things shaking. So, if you look at your team and you're underwhelmed with what they have done so far, do not worry. There is plenty of time. I think there's some big names that are going to be hitting the open market relatively soon. Plus, I think the trade market is about to ramp up as well. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. We'll get back to the NFL in just a bit. Coming up tonight, right here on KOAL, the Utah Jazz will make their return. They'll take on the Boston Celtics. We'll get you out to live pregame coverage at 6:50. David Locke, Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play call. 5:30 tonight, we get Philly at New York. The Wizards will travel to meet the Grizzlies to tip off the 6 o'clock hour. Also, Indiana at OKC. We get San Antonio and Houston at 6:30 as well. Nightcap basketball, one on TNT. Minnesota travels to meet the Clippers. Love that matchup there. I still think the Clippers are one of the heavy hitters in the Western Conference. And then coming up at 8 o'clock tonight, we get Milwaukee and Sacramento. So a shorter slate of NBA games, but still plenty on tap. That's what's happening right now on the national sports front. We do have a lot to get into today. Next segment, we're going to be joined by Emory High School soccer coach Troy Winter. We'll talk about their first game of the year and the makeup of the roster. And then it's Football Tuesday. So we will be joined by Vinny Rondinelli, kind enough to join us each week. Vinny won't be in studio, but he's going to join us over the phone. We'll go all around the NFL and take a look at free agency. That's what we have coming up at Drive Time Sports, and we are live from the Sutherland Studios.
Now, this local Castle Country sports update with Jordan Buscarini from KOAL.
Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And yesterday on the baseball diamond, the Emory Spartans slipped to 3-3 as they suffered a 7-4 loss to the Uinta Utes at home. Now, with that setback, Emory will shift focus to the Region 12 opener, which will take place tomorrow. Originally scheduled for today, Emory will travel to Cedar City to take on the Canyon View Falcons. The two teams will then meet again to wrap up the season series on Thursday. That game will take place at Emory High School. Sticking with Emory High School Athletics, the girls' softball team will open up Region 12 play this afternoon as they play host to the Manti Templars at 3:30. There'll be two games this week for the Lady Spartans as far as region play is concerned. They'll return to the field on Thursday to also play host to Carbon, and that'll end an early three-game homestand to start the season. The Carbon Lady Dinos will open up Region 12 play this afternoon. They'll travel on the road to take on the Delta Rabbits. Start time for that game is set for 3:30 p.m., and Carbon will return to the field again against Emory. That game again is scheduled for Thursday. The Carbon High School baseball team will open up Region 12 play this afternoon as they play host to the North Stampede Hawks. This game was originally scheduled to take place in Mount Pleasant. However, snow forced the venue change. Carbon will now end region play and the regular season at North Stampede, that game taking place on April 30th. Today's home region opener is scheduled to begin at 3 p.m. And yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we caught up with manager Rob Smith, who talked about the team's early season so far as they sit 2-1.
It's been good. We haven't hit quite as well as I'd like to, but it's early. First time seeing pitching. So, moving forward, hopefully we can start swinging a little better and move on from there.
Again, start time for today's home contest is set for 3 p.m. The Carbon High School boys volleyball team will return to the court tonight as they play host to the home opener against Ogden. Carbon opened up the season last week in a loss to Morgan in straight sets. However, Coach Landon Felberg was happy with the progression he has seen from his team. In fact, he joined us Friday afternoon on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, and he talked about not only his team, but also the excitement of tonight's home opener.
So we have our home match against Ogden there on Tuesday, March 12th, and the boys are ecstatic. They've now got a game underneath their belts, and they know kind of what to expect. We had some pre-game jitters and some middle of the game jitters on our very first one, but the boys are ecstatic to bring it home and show the rest of the Carbon County that we've got a team and we're going to be competing.
Now the Dinos will share a four-team region that includes North Stampede as well as Judge Memorial and Juan Diego. Coach Felber continued by talking about how difficult the region is actually going to be.
Especially these private schools that are even on the North, including actually North Stampede. There will be boys that have played in the club realm. North Stampede, they've been having a club team for several years. With Judge Memorial and Juan Diego, both of them, they have that access to the club sports that have been up there on the Wasatch Front for several years as well.
Tonight's very first home game is scheduled to begin at 6 p.m. It'll be the only home match of the week for the Dinos. They'll return back to home next week on March 21st against Grantsville. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're going to talk high school soccer here today on the Coach's Corner. Boys soccer season already off and rolling. It's so different this year. There's no non-region play for Carbon and Emory because that region is so big that Emory has already played their first league game, and they have another one coming up tomorrow. The Spartans will look to bounce back after a loss to the Delta Rabbits. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the makeup of this year's team. Joining us right now over the phone, we have head coach Troy Winter. Coach, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to be here with you, Jordan. I look forward to it as well, too.
I know you and I were talking a bit during that last break, and you said spring sports is here and it's almost gone. It's so true. I mean, we got about 5 weeks to go in the season, Coach. We only have one game under our belt so far.
Yeah, it's one of them things that I think that sneak up on us. We do a little bit of off-season training and stuff, but it's here before you know it, and we'll be done in a few weeks, and you'll wonder where the time went. So, it's I'm looking forward to it though. Our first game, actually with North Stampede got canceled, and then we went into our second game with Delta at their place, and no preseason games due to the region lineup and how things kind of panned out that way. It was a good showing, not the results that we wanted, but we learned some things. So.
That was going to be one of my first questions for you, Coach. Typically, you have an opportunity to go down to St. George. You'll get a couple of games in a couple of days span, but this year with the realignment and the way the regions really stack out, you guys don't have that. You don't have that luxury of trying to get a couple of games under your belt. Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I'm sure it's a lot easier from a scheduling purpose, but when you take a look at the whole landscape of it having such a deep region, what's your take on it?
I personally don't like it. I don't like jumping right into region games. It doesn't give us an opportunity to, see, what the boys will do under pressure, as far as pressure from another team. They're just used to just kind of playing each other, maybe get lackadaisical, the first game in, you kind of get them cobwebs knocked off with contact, with speed of the game, with touches. And then it kind of gives you a reset or a scale to kind of say, okay, this is the level we have to come with every game moving forward, instead of it being the very first game, a very region game, and that way. Personally, that's how I feel about it. I know circumstances didn't allow us to do that, but hopefully, next year, some things will change.
Well, and I guess it is a positive that this is such a tough region, because for those who don't know, I mean, it's your entire schedule, it's region play. So if you were, I guess, placed inside of a region that wasn't very competitive, that's going to reflect on you poorly as far as the RPI is concerned. But that is one thing you don't have to worry about, Coach. Front to back, this is a good region.
No, absolutely. There's a lot of good rural schools in here, a lot of teams that play really, really hard, play really, really physical. And I like all of our opponents. All of our opponents are going to make us better. We're going to have to show up at every game. I don't think there's an easy one. Some of the scores for the first couple days or first couple games, I don't think, kind of depict, what the season's going to be either as well, too. I think this is a really good region. And there's a lot of good teams in this region, for sure.
You said something, Coach, that resonated with me. You said it's really good rural high school soccer. And I want to put an emphasis on that, because when you take a look at the 3A classification in general, really we have two rural divisions. And then, you can throw Ben Lohman, I guess, into the one. But then you have Region 14 of Juan Diego, Providence Hall, Judge, and Summit Academy. We don't really have to worry about those guys until the state tournament. When you look at this region, that's what it is. I mean, this is legitimate 3A high school soccer. That's what I like about it.
Right, absolutely. It's rural schools, 3A, doing the best that we can do, with the cards that were dealt, and stuff. It's kind of exciting. That way you kind of, we talk about judging, apples to apples. If I play against a rural school, and we get handed a loss, then I know our program, we need to, do something a little bit better, or a little bit different, and stuff. Sometimes traveling to some of them larger schools or schools that are out of, out of the city areas, that they got, a lot of numbers to pick from. Sometimes that's not always a good balance of what we have on our team as well, too. So
let's talk about what you have on your team this year, Coach. You got three returning senior starters, correct? Outside of that, it's a fairly young team.
Yeah. Yep. We there's a few of them that are going to be up and coming. We had some seniors quite a few that graduated last year. So there's only three that really started. But we do have, a team full. I think there's six seniors, seven seniors that we'll be having this year. I think it will be good. Just going to get a couple games under our belt and see, how formations roll out, how players roll out, and see what we've got going on. We've also got some young players that are coming in as well, too, that, I'm excited about, and stuff. So they'll have to step up and play hard and, contribute, right away.
If we go back to the first game, Coach, last week against Delta, final score in that game 3-0, 1-0, if I remember correctly, at the end of the first half. So, to me, without watching you guys play that game, it just sticks in my mind that this is a team with a defensive identity. Is that fair?
It absolutely is. And that's one of the things that's unfortunate with, the score. The score line or the bottom score doesn't show that, two of them goals essentially were made, on errors on our part, so essentially it was should have been really a 1-0 game, or possibly even, a 4-0 game for us, if we wouldn't have made the errors that we made, and stuff. So, but we are definitely built from the defense up. We've always kind of been that way. Our strength's always been defensively minded. Maybe that comes from me as a coach, but that just comes from our players. Just playing, good defensive soccer, and stuff. We've always, it seems like, struggled a little bit to score, but we're working on that, and I think hopefully that'll get fixed and we'll get that figured out, as the season rolls on here.
Who are some of the kids that you're going to have to rely on the offensive side of the field, Coach?
You know, offensively, you got some a couple returners. Carson Childs, he's a senior this year, very offensive minded, good soccer player, got a good skill set. And Ty Yost, Chase Huggard, you know, they're a little raw, but they give us 110% all the time. They're always going, and we'll do everything that we need them, you know, to do, you know, offensively and stuff. And then, you know, we've got a couple guys in the middle that will, you know, kind of give us some time, you know, mix through that, you know, that will help out as far as rotations go and stuff. But looking forward to those three kind of stepping up, you know, and seeing what we can do for the season.
Again, our guest right now, Coach Troy Winter of the Emory High School boys soccer team. Coach, we do have a home game tomorrow, right? You get Manti at home and then another game this week. Have to travel on the road to Canyon View. So, again, all region games, two important ones.
Yes, correct. Yep, we've got Manti at home on Wednesday. Yep, that's going to be a good game. I think Manti, you know, always has a good organization. They're always a good team to battle against. They got a good skill set, and I'm really looking forward to playing them this year as well too. We've got a long time history with them, looking forward to it. Then traveling to Canyon View, you know, the bus ride down there is a little bit longer than we like, but we'll go down there and we'll play them hard as well too. You know, looking forward to both of the games, you know, right out of the gate as well too.
I got to ask, Coach, going back to the North Sand Peak game, which was canceled, with you guys having a very strict schedule trying to get done before the third week in April, how do you fit that game back in? I mean, it's not as if it's a non-region game and you can't play it. It's an important one. Have you guys been able to, are you able to reschedule that game?
Yes. Yep. So we have rescheduled that game. That'll actually be on Monday. So next week we'll actually have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule, which will, you know, be more games than we want in a week. But it'll help us get, you know, it'll help us get, you know, time on the field and, you know, game time going and get that game rescheduled and see what we're made up. You know, when you get to the state playoffs, you have, you know, games that are really, you know, really cramped together as well too. You know, you got two and three games, you know, and in a week there, you know, so you have to be ready for that as well too, physically and, you know, and mentally.
Yeah, if I look at the schedule, Coach, there is a stretch at the end of March going into April where you guys get three consecutive home games. I always look at that when I sit down, I look at a schedule, and if I'm not mistaken, it's 5 out of 6 will be played at home. That could be the most crucial part of this schedule, right? Protecting your home field. But when you get that amount of home games, you almost have to come away with wins.
Absolutely. You know, and our boys, you know, I think most generally with a lot of teams, you know, especially in soccer and especially in rural, you know, areas, home field advantage, you know, means a lot. And your home field, you know, you're used to playing on that field. And we're fortunate enough to have a great stadium and a great turf field. And that gives us a little bit of an advantage, you know, as far as the boys being familiar with it, touches, how the ball rolls, the speed of the game. You know, that changes slightly when you go to natural grass or, you know, to regular grass of any kind, you know, and stuff. So, yes, we will have to come away with more than one, you know, hopefully 5 in that home stretch there is always what our goal is. But, yeah, we need to do our best in that stretch there.
Well, Coach, it is great to get you back on. It's great to start talking about the team. Best of luck this week. Hopefully we can catch you up next week. We can talk about that 3 games in 5 day stretch. That's going to be brutal, but I guess the schedule from here on out is brutal. There's just not a lot of rest time.
Absolutely. Yep. We get right into it and we're go. And yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. The boys always rise to the occasion. You know, I'm like I said, I'm looking really forward to it. You know, this is going to be a good year. We're going to have a lot of fun and looking forward to it.
Coach, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
That's Coach Troy Winter again of the Emory Sport and Soccer team taking out the time to join us. Emory's going to return to the field tomorrow as they take on talented Manti squad. We'll continue to follow both Carbon and Emory soccer throughout the season. And, of course, Coach Winter will join us next week here on Drive Time Sports. Let's pause for just a moment. More coming up. We'll flip to the national scene and we'll talk free agency. A lot of movement, a lot of familiar faces in new places. We'll talk about that when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
It's Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports, and it's a big Football Tuesday, as over the last 24 to 40 hours or so, free agency news has just been piling in, and it's continued again today. Some well-known players now with new homes. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about some of the underwhelming teams and maybe some of the more aggressive teams. Joining us over the phone, we have Vinny Rondinelli right now. Vinny, wild, wild free agency period, even more so than you thought it would be. I know you mentioned that to me off of the cuff a few moments ago. It's been crazy.
It's been weird, right? And we were talking back and forth on deals, and it's funny that the depressed market that we kept talking about for safeties, running backs, even interior linemen, guards, centers, they went buck wild yesterday. Safeties, running backs, centers, and guards all getting big money. And some of these other guys we expected to didn't really get it. It was just real surprising how it all came about and who got big money yesterday.
You mentioned guards. And I think that this is, it's always telling what direction the league is heading. And when I say what direction the league is heading, I'm talking for a 4 or 5 year period at most, because it is such a copycat league. But a lot of money spent on the interior line yesterday. That's what stood out to me.
Absolutely. And we've seen, you know, Christian Wilkins get a big deal in the neighborhood of, I think it was like $22 million annually on his deal. And then Robert Hunt ended up getting $20 million. On the other side is a guard, and, you know, that interior movement, Chris Jones getting a big deal, Wilkins, they're combating this with paying centers and guards big money. Again, you're right, it's copycat league. The running back market was depressed. We were thinking a lot of these guys weren't even going to get into the $10 million range. Jacobs, I think he averages 12, and Barkley's a little over 12. So, yeah, it was very surprising yesterday as far as how it went.
I also think anytime free agency picks up, there's always a team that will grab a marquee free agent, and very rarely does it work out. I know you and I have had this conversation before, and Ndamukong Suh comes to mind, right? There's always a marquee free agent out there. Someone tries to make a splash. They give them a lot of money, and within 3 to 4 years, once that guarantee is up, they go away. Is Christian Wilkins that guy this year? Because the Raiders spent a ton of money, $110 million base salary, 84.7 of that guaranteed.
Yeah, that's, you know, he's the one that comes to mind for me. And it's simply because here's the guy that did, he was very good last year. This was a guy that was he was a game wrecker at times. But again, we see that in a contract year. We see these guys have a great year. They switch teams, especially the first year. New defense, new roster, they don't dominate, and then from then on, it's always the pressure of, are they worth the money? So Christian Wilkins might be that guy. I think he has an advantage. Here's something, you know, being that we're both close Raider fans, Max Crosby gives him an advantage. Crosby's such a game wrecker and such a good player that Wilkins is not going to be able to be triple teamed or double teamed as much as, say, your guy Aaron Donald, because Max Crosby's such a game wreck on the outside. So kind of a hit and miss here. I think Wilkins has a good season. Is he worth the money? Maybe. I'm going to leave it at maybe. And that's the Max Crosby factor is why I say maybe instead of no.
Well, I wanted to get your opinion on this because you're a Tom Telesco guy. You followed the way this guy built teams for years. I think he's one of the best roster builders in the NFL. Did it contribute to Super Bowls in San Diego or LA with the Chargers? No, but in the same sense, you look at the roster and the way it was built, it was very good. I mean, it's a top 10 roster year in and year out. The idea that the Raiders spend big money on Christian Wilkins and then they bring in Gardner Minshew to compete with Aiden O'Connell when there are other names out there at the quarterback spot. Maybe you could have taken a flyer on a guy like Mac Jones, who went to the Jaguars for next to nothing. Justin Fields, still with Chicago right now. Jameis Winston is looking like he's going to become a backup in Cleveland. Sam Darnold gets a deal with Minnesota. To me, there were better quarterback options out there, at least from a ceiling standpoint, than Gardner Minshew. Does that surprise you that Telesco spends big on Wilkins, goes cheap on quarterback to compete with Aiden O'Connell?
No, you know, the way he does with the roster with, you know, being an old Indianapolis Colts guy is you want to have a left tackle, you want to have a pass rush. You know, we had all those years in Indy was, you know, the great offense and then just corners and a pass rush of the defense to be good enough, you know, with Freeney, Mathis, those kind of guys. To me, Minshew is nothing more than a bridge quarterback. You're not going to build a football team around Minshew. Do I like Minshew? Yeah, I think he'd be one of the top backups in the NFL. I think he's probably an average quarterback. He's a gamer. But I really believe the Raiders know that without Josh Jacobs now, especially, not a ton of weapons on offense, not a great offensive line. They lost their center. They're going to have to do some building there, and they're going to have to do that in the draft, which he likes to do. And I really believe that the Vegas will make a solid effort to move up in a draft. They're going to try and draft a franchise quarterback.
We talk winners and losers of free agency. I think one of the winners has to be Kirk Cousins and his agent. I also think it works out for the Atlanta Falcons as well. Achilles injury be damned. The Falcons have been looking for a quarterback for quite some time since they got rid of Matt Ryan. It turns out they don't have to give up any assets to get one. They just give up $100 million in acquiring Kirk Cousins. Seems like a good fit, Vinny.
Yeah, it does. I love this fit. I know Raheem Morris. He's a good football coach. I mean, and I believe they brought an offense coordinator from L.A., which is an offense that Kirk Cousins should know, right, just coming from the Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell worked with Sean McVay. I don't think there's a big, learning curve for Cousins on this offense. And the fact that, you know, there is some talent there. I mean, London, Robinson, Algiers, Kyle Pitts can flat play. Quarterback, getting him the ball, it's going to make a big difference. I love this fit. I think it was one of the best signings. Atlanta has to be relevant, and to do that, they cannot be held back by poor quarterback play, which they have been for quite some time. I love this move. I think it was a home run.
I think what you get with Kirk Cousins, you're not going to get astronomical production at the quarterback spot. You're not going to get top five production. What you will get is top 12, right? That's the one thing that Kirk Cousins has been his entire career. He's been consistently good. Right, good, not great, not always spectacular, but he has been consistently good. Because I had someone ask me, would you really rather give Kirk Cousins $100 million than take a flyer on Justin Fields? And I said, yes, because taking a flyer on quarterbacks is what the Falcons have done since they moved on from Matt Ryan. To me right now, if you take a flyer on Fields, it's a risk. I don't know that there's a risk with Kirk Cousins, Vinny.
No, the floor is a very high floor, right? You know you're going to get week in, week out. He knows that offense. He plays. He's efficient. Is he going to carry your team? You know, no. But is he going to lose the ball game for you? No. Is he going to run an offense, very efficiently, very effectively? Absolutely. He can move a little bit. Again, you know, there's always, you know, a worry about the Achilles. But, again, he's not going to be running for 800 yards. He's the quarterback. He's going to be efficient in this offense. He knows it, like I said, playing for O'Connell last year. I just love this. I think he's a top, 10, 12 quarterback in the NFL, yeah. I think that's fair to say, and he's efficient, and he's consistent. And Atlanta needs that.
Do they become the odds-on favorite now in the NFC South? I believe they do.
I believe they do. I really believe they do. I think that they have enough talent on offense that, you know, with a quarterback, they could really make something happen. And they're scary because they got a good running game, too.
Bouncing all around, we can move to the defensive side of the ball because late last night a trade comes out that Brian Burns is on his way to the New York Giants. And the Giants, I like the move for the Giants. Did they overpay? Maybe. I think from a production standpoint, Burns has taken a little bit of a step back, but I also believe the environment has something to do with that. The big losers in this deal, the Brian Burns trade yesterday, was the Carolina Panthers because they had the opportunity 2 years ago to move him for multiple ones, and then they move him for what seems like pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, Carolina's really had some bad luck with this, going back to this whole Brian Burns, what they missed, what they gained, Bryce Young, what they gave up, what they missed. I mean, they just really have been just kind of cycling, right? They just, one of those teams, it seems like they're always reaching. They're not consistent. We look at, giving away all the money to the guards yesterday. What are the weapons for Bryce Young? I mean, that's nice. They paid big money for guards, but who's he going to throw the ball to?
Right.
Oh, there's just so much going on. And then you have a pass rush threat. You give him away for a second and a five, I believe it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Second and a five.
It was a second and a five, yeah. 2024 second and 2025 five.
And they could have two first-round picks. So it's just a swing and miss with Carolina. They seem like they're just lost. I do like the fact that, their coach, new coach Canales, did come out and said, people will be surprised with my stubbornness to this running game and how good we're going to be running the ball. okay, that's going to help Bryce Young. That's going to help your young team. But really, are you going anywhere? I mean, right now, can you say there's a team worse off in the NFL than the Carolina Panthers?
Oh, my gosh, it's bad. It's bad. So bad. And it's been, they've been ran poorly. That's the, you can't even look at the Carolina Panthers and say it's been bad luck. Everything that they have done over the last 3 to 4 years continues to set them back.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's you know, we know, you know, and again, we don't know him personally, and we don't know what it's like behind closed doors, but publicly, your owner is just a mess. You've cycled through general managers, you've cycled through head coaches, you've got a guy that was probably the only head coaching interview he's going to get. You've hired him with no experience. You got a quarterback that you traded up for, and you haven't surrounded him with any weapons. So it's just, yeah, they're poorly, they just look like they're lost.
Again, Vinny Rondinelli joining us right now as we talk NFL free agency. Vinny, a lot of talk about the running back market, what it looks like, what it was going to look like. There's been a lot of money thrown at running backs and a lot of running backs on the move. So Derrick Henry earlier today signs a 2-year deal worth $16 million with the Baltimore Ravens. Love the fit. I think it's fantastic. One of your old guys, Austin Eckler, signs with the Washington Commanders. He goes 2 years, $11 million. We knew there wasn't going to be a huge market for Eckler. He's tried that over the last couple of years. There was nothing there for him. Aaron Jones goes to the Minnesota Vikings. Zach Moss signs with Cincinnati. Cincinnati then turns around and trades Joe Mixon. That might have been the biggest surprise. Barkley, we talked about this yesterday, going to Philly. A lot of movement on the running back market, and these are big names. And there are still teams out there that have yet to replace their back that left, which leads me to believe we're going to see a heavy running back class selected next month in around that 3 to 5 round range where teams are going to get a running back for cheap, maybe even two.
Yeah, absolutely. And we heard it yesterday. Jacobs leaves Las Vegas. You know, I think he got $12 million. Do I think having dead cap and losing Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon and giving up 12 for Jacobs, do I think that's a great swap? Not really. But for the Raiders, having money and not giving it to Jacobs, Tommy Telesco coming out saying, hey, we need 2 to 3 backs. Yeah, well, the best player in your team on offense, you know, arguably was Jacobs, and you let him walk for nothing. So, you know, there was some surprise. Joe Mixon being cut, right? We read that Joe Mixon was released. Then it comes out later that the Texans scooped him up for next to nothing in a trade. Apparently they didn't file the paperwork all the way yet, so he gets traded. I was shocked by that. And then they replaced him with Zach Moss, a guy that, you know, people around here will know. But he can't catch the football, especially not like Joe Mixon. So Eckler's going to get into another situation in Washington where he's a rotational back. They have Robinson Jr. there. So just, yeah, we were talking about the market being depressed, but yesterday it wasn't. It was on fire.
Yeah, and I don't understand what Cincinnati is doing. And you had an interesting perspective on this, and I want you to kind of dive into it. So the news comes out that they've signed Zach Moss. And my initial thought was, what a compliment to go with Joe Mixon, right? I can't think of a better compliment. When you look at what Moss has done over the course of his career, and you look at what Mixon excels at, that's what, they had such success with Perine and Mixon for a reason, right? They were a perfect compliment. And then literally minutes later, we find out that he's not going to be there. Speaking of Joe Mixon, he's not going to be in Cincinnati anymore. This is a team that you called historically cheap, and I think it's on display here, because Vinny, Moss and Mixon might be the best 1-2 duo in the league if you hang on to both of them.
And they have money. It makes it worse. It's a more of a head-scratcher. They have tons of money. I believe at one point this offseason, it's $70 million in cap space. Well, what the hell are they doing? I mean, you're right. They had a backfield where you're like, oof, man, Joe Burrow with that. If they drafted a tight end, oh, man, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, like, wow, how do you stop these guys? And then Joe Mixon's traded for a bag of chips, and you're like, well, what did they gain there? Zach Moss can't catch the football and run out routes. Mixon's great in space with the ball in his hands. You know, they have been called historically cheap. This has been a thing that's been going on for decades in Cincinnati. We thought maybe with Burrow, them getting the Super Bowl, giving him the big contract, some of that would go away. But it seems like it kind of come back there, and that don't make no sense at all. That was that's a head-scratching decision, Jordan.
I think what upsets me about this for Cincinnati is this is a team that is so close. This is a team that's on the brink. This is a team where Jake Browning was within one possession away from knocking off the defending Super Bowl champs to get his team into the postseason. They did that with Jake Browning. Not Joe Burrow, Jake Browning. And the fact that you get cheap in the offseason, a team that was in the Super Bowl just two, three seasons ago, and you get cheap at this stage when you have an elite quarterback in his prime, that, man, that, it's got to sting if you're a Bengals fan.
Yeah, that don't make a lick of sense. I'm surprised by that. Maybe they have something up their sleeve. Defensively, they're going after something. You know, there's some linebackers out there might be able to help again, you know, line up next to Logan Wilson. Maybe Patrick Queen's in the works. But I don't know. But, yeah, that was surprising, and it was disappointing. I'm thinking, man, they would look good together, wouldn't they?
Well, Patrick Queen's on his way to Pittsburgh. So Queen jumps from Baltimore to Pittsburgh as Derrick Henry signs with Baltimore. The Steelers have gotten better, Vinny.
Yeah, they have. They really have. And I like the Russell Wilson move. You know, it cost them $1 million. You know, there's no pressure there. They still have a young player in Kenny Pickett, so you're just kind of, you know, covering your bases there. And, you know, the Steelers, they're there. They're always just kind of there. And, Mike, you know, Tomlin's done a great job, and here it goes again. Maybe they strike with Queen.
Who has made the biggest improvement? And I'm talking about I'm not talking about a bottom feeder from last year. I'm talking about a team that was close. Maybe it was a playoff team. Maybe they were borderline playoff. Which team has made the biggest improvement to take that next step to contending for a Super Bowl?
One of the names that didn't get talked about was really exciting to me yesterday were the Commanders. I almost called them the Redskins, but the Commanders. Dan Quinn will bring something, you know, the juice. Dan Quinn brings energy. He is, you know, and they needed that change from, you know, Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera is a stand-up human being and a great football coach, but he's a stoic kind of guy, right? This kind of juice that Dan Quinn brings, they had the top GM candidate in the whole cycle. Everybody wanted a piece of Adam Peters. They got him. That combination bringing the juice. They were incredibly aggressive yesterday and today. They also have the number two pick. Looks like they're going to end up with Drake May or Jaden Daniels if they so choose. I just like how they went after it. You mentioned Eckler, the linebacker out of Carolina. They signed Alec Reddy out of Kansas City. They were just really trying to improve. And I think, you know, with his kind of energy, this is a team that can make a jump where, you know, are they going to, you know, make a run? No. But when you play them, you're going to know it.
And I think I stick within the division. I think Philadelphia has done wonders. I think they needed to do wonders. You're saying goodbye to some of the veterans that have walked away from the game due to retirement, but this was a team that was very, very aggressive. And you figured they would be, right, with Nick Sirianni trying to make some sweeping changes. It was dismal. It was one of the biggest collapses that we have seen, one of the biggest second-half collapses I can remember in the regular season moving into the postseason. I thought Philly's done a lot of work. I think they've done a lot of good work.
Yeah, that's another great one. I mean, not just the Barkley thing. It helps them because Barkley's so good in the pass game as well. Helps Jalen Hurts. Swift's a great player, but he doesn't catch the ball nearly as well as Barkley. The Huff thing, you know, they're trying to move on from some of their guys, but, you know, you lose Fletcher Cox, but you re-sign Brandon Graham to a year extension, just kind of keep him there as a mentor. You're trying to move on from maybe the Sweat kid. But you sign Bryce Huff. You know, there's some things you're moving on. They're going to need some help in the secondary. We know that. They're going to have to draft a couple corners, losing Maddox. And we know Bradbury and Slay are basically done, right? Corners, they hit a wall, and they're it's over. So they're going to need some help there. But I agree with you. Very aggressive, and they help Jalen Hurts get better, I believe.
And speaking of the Commanders, breaking that they've now added Dante Fowler to the edge as well. Again, that's a great, solid move, right? Dan Quinn bringing in Dante Fowler, a guy that's well familiar with what Dan Quinn wants to do. You got to give a shout-out to the Commanders again. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely, especially with the two D tackles they have. Fowler's not going to get double-teamed, probably going to play mostly on passing downs. Simple assignment, go sack the quarterback. I like what Dan Quinn's doing there. It looks like he's really bringing some juice on. They needed that energy, right? They really did.
With all that being said, Vinny, what's the next storyline? We'll end with that. What's the next best storyline in free agency, something that you're just waiting for the dominoes to fall?
Hunter. Danielle Hunter, the pass rusher. What's he going to take? You know, there's reports he wants $40 million. He ain't getting it. Chris Jones signed the big deal. You know, Watt, Bosa brothers, they all got big deals. Where's he going to fit in? Who's going to give it to him? Every day, what we've learned in free agency, right, is every day the price goes down. It doesn't go up. Every day you're a free agent, you're losing money. So what's Hunter going to take? What's it going to take to get him there? Does Minnesota make an offer to get him back? He's probably top-ranked free agent on most boards. I think he's only 28 as well. So where does he go? And then that's going to – I think the big fish in the pond sets everything in motion for all the other, you know, people moving along behind him.
I just don't see a $30 million deal out there for him right now.
I don't. So what does he take? Where does he go? Is it a sleeper team? Does someone come along? Seattle? Someone that thinks they're closer than they are? Is it come along with the L.A. Rams, you know, making a call going, do you want to play next to Aaron Donald? I'm interested to see how this all falls. Hunter is going to be the next big thing because everything will fall in after that.
He's Vinny Rondinelli, always kind enough to join us. Vinny, next week we'll have we'll be able to break down the entire free agency landscape, but it's going to set the stage for the draft, which is about a month off. Always so much fun to get you on. Love the conversations.
Oh, always good to talk to you, and it's been a fun couple days. It's just going to keep getting better.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We're going to have so much more NFL football to talk about throughout the week. And we're also about 7 days away from the start of the Major League Baseball season. Can you believe that? So much to get into on the show tomorrow. Until then, be safe. I am out.